the time, because the days are evil. Now, we're told in these verses to walk circumspectly, or, if you will, very cautiously, carefully, and in every way watchful, wary, and cautious, in order to avoid danger, discern enemies before they come too close. Furthermore, the root words tell us that we should walk correctly, accurately, consistently, or perfectly. All these things are inherent in walking circumspectly and not foolishly. I mean, it is a command, if you will, to be wise and to do what is right, to be cautious about your life. That is the command, to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The cause for the command is given in verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We are to redeem or buy up the moments around us that others waste with carelessness. With every sense of caution, we should use our time walking circumspectly, friend. And have my friend watching the way that we live, using our days. For these days are evil. And it is said that these days are evil, for they are treacherous, dangerous, filled with troubles and temptations. And only the watchful and the diligent have any reason to expect that they'll receive good things in these days. Job said in Job 14, matter of fact, in verses 1 and 2, there's a little boy said it this way. Well, the Scripture says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. One little boy was memorizing that verse in Sunday school, and he quoted it this way. Said, man is born, in just a few days he got trouble with women. And that might be right too. But friend, the Scripture says that man is born and is a few days and full of trouble. And listen, he's coming forth as a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. I mean, friend, the days are evil because these days are filled with trouble. But it's not just that they're filled with trouble. The days are also evil. For with all the promise that the future offers the intelligent, young, capable, and talented, there is no promise of the future. With all the promise that the future offers those, there is no promise of the future. We don't know that we'll ever get there. We don't know that it'll ever arrive. The future offers a great deal of promise, but there's no promise of the future. Amen. Tomorrow offers so much promise, but there's no promise of tomorrow. The days are short. The days are dangerous. Therefore, now is the time to walk circumspectly. Now is the time to invest wisely your time. And now is the time to make wise decisions. Now is the time to be vigilant against the enemies of your soul. I want to preach that the Lord will hit me this morning. Now is the time. Now is the time. I want to say, first of all, now is the time for sinners to repent. Amen. Now is the time for sinners to repent. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now is the time for sinners to repent. Why is now the time? I want to give you three reasons. First of all, because now, my friend, is the time, because time is short. Amen. 2 Samuel 14 and 14, for we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again, even if God respect any person. 1 Chronicles 29 and 15 said, our days on the earth are as a shadow. I mean, friend, a shadow is something you see, but depending on which direction the sun goes, it changes and moves. And when the sun goes down, there's no more shadow, friend. I want to say just as quickly as it rises up, it's gone again. So also is our lives. I saw a little old boy the other day down at the mall in Union City where it stopped. I had to pick up some things from the Rising store there. And he is walking across the parking lot. And Brother Johnny is mad. And he is scared because there's a character that was following him. It was his shadow. A little boy about 3 years old, he had just discovered it. And he was scared to death. No matter which direction he went, that character kept following him. He'd point at it and tell him to get away and scream for his mama and go running. And no matter what direction he ran in,
That little old booger kept following him everywhere he went. And the little boy, the longer he followed him, the more upset he'd get. Finally, they went up under the edge of the campus, and the sun wasn't on him no more, and the shadow was gone, and the boy was relieved. But I want to say, friend, life is like that. It's like a shadow, and it may seem like it's with you everywhere you go, but friend, it's a fleeting away very quickly. Time is very, very short. And when the S-O-N, not the S-U-N, but when the S-O-N quits a smiling on you, and the last breath of your life is gone, I mean your life be gone so quick, and you'll wonder where it all ends. And time is short. So now is the time for sinners to repent. Amen. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, he said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, verily, every man said at his best state is altogether vanity. Psalm 103, verse 14 through 16 said, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Proverbs 29:1 or 27:1 said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. James 4:14 said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We're only here for a very short time. And now is the time for sinners to repent. Now's the time for sinners to repent. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth thereof, and it falleth away. I want to say, you are not promised tomorrow. And so now is the time. Redeem the time, friend. Make the most of this time, sinner friend. And repent and get right with God. Now is the time for sinners to repent. For time is a sword. Secondly, the reason why now is the time for sinners to repent is because not only time is short, but also judgment is assured. Judgment is assured. Amen. Hebrews 9:27 said, for it is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. I mean, friend, Ecclesiastes 12:13 said, now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Have fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment of every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I tell you, we're all going to stand according to 1 Corinthians before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the deeds done in this body. And listen, friend, Revelation 20 said, the small and great did stand before the Lord, and they were judged out of the book, and another book was opened. Hey, and whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Amen. Where the beast and the false prophet are. I want to tell you, friend, judgment is sure. You will stand before God and give an account of your life. And so now is the time for sinners to repent. You won't be able to repent on judgment day. I mean, you can't wait till the day of judgment and say, Lord, I'd like to get right. Oh, Lord, I do believe. Oh, man, everybody's going to believe on that day. But what you're believing on that day won't cut it. You're going to have to accept God in His time and on His terms. Amen. Now's the time for sinners to repent, for time is short, judgment is sure. I want to say now's the time for sinners to repent because of the call of the Spirit. Genesis 6:3, Jesus, or the Word of God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Now listen to me, friend. You're not promised God will always deal with your heart. And when He does, you better respond. When God the Holy Ghost speaks to you and says, now's the time to be saved, now is the time. You don't get saved when you decide to. You get saved when God's a calling. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man cometh unto me except my Father, which hath sent me, draw him. I tell you, don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when God is a calling. And so today, friend, if God has a call in your heart, and if it's a dealing with your life, now is is a time for sinners to repent.
Amen. Jesus said, Matthew 3:2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
I mean, now's the time, friend, to get things right with God.
Now is the time. First of all, now is the time for sinners to repent. Secondly, now is the time for saints to assemble. Amen. Now is the time for saints to assemble. Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to say, listen, hey, he didn't say when the day comes to approach, you don't need to go to church as much. Oh, no. But he said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're living in a generation where they're cutting back on worship service. They're cutting back on church time. I mean, friend, hey, you got to make sure now that you have an early service. It takes about 25 or 30 minutes so folks can get their religious duties out of the way and make it to the golf course before the tea time is past. Amen. But listen, friend, hey, and Sunday night service in a lot of churches has become a thing of the past. Amen, that's right. And prayer meeting and college prayer meetings. Hey, and family altar time. It's just about a thing of years gone by. And listen, he said so much the more. We need it more now than we've ever needed it, friend. Amen. You say, I can worship God just good at the house. What you can in church, you're a liar and you know it. Amen. You ain't worshiping God at the house. Amen. That's right. While you're laying out of church. I mean, we know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. If you're right with God, you want to be at church. Amen. That's exactly right. Somebody said, I can do just good in the deer stand. That's what I can at the church house. If you can, you ain't doing much good in either place. Amen. That's exactly right. I sit up in the side of a tree waiting on a deer that never does show up. Or out in the boat waiting on a fish that's done going on vacation. I tell you, you ought to get to the house of God and worship the Lord. Now's the time for God's people, the saints, to assemble. Now listen, we assemble for three major purposes. Why should I come to church, preacher? This is why we come to church, for three reasons primarily. I can give you about 200 or 300, but I want to give you three primary reasons. First of all, and foremost of all, we come to church to glorify God, to bring glory unto God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now listen, that's happened to all parts of our lives, but it was specifically given as a command to a church who was using their services as a time to bring attention to themselves. You see, some was bringing big fine feasts, and this called it the Lord's Supper. But Paul said, when you come together, this is not to the eating of the Lord's Supper. Some would have a bunch, and others would have none. And those that had a bunch would sit there and eat their own food and laugh at them that didn't have none, and stick their chest out as if there's better and somebody didn't have anything. But listen, church is not a place for us to bring attention or glory to ourselves. But we've come this morning to bring glory unto God. I might also say this, Brother Matthew. I might just say, brethren, we have met to worship. Amen. That's exactly right. We're not here this morning to give, hey, to give the latest report on somebody's troubles and problems and to make a list of complaints about how hard it is to live for Jesus, or my friend to talk about all the things the devils are doing and try to glorify him. We're not here to lift up a man or a movement. Amen. Now we're here to worship God and him alone. Not here to see who can drive the biggest car and wear the fanciest clothes. Hey, man, and make the most money. Hey, hey. We're not here to try to compete and run our children in competition against one another. Hey, man, that's right. We're here to worship the Lord. And if you're here for anything else, then there's something bad wrong with your motives. And you need to get your heart right with God. Amen, that's right. Hey,
I mean, friend, we're here to glorify God. First, the three primary reasons we come to church, three primary reasons why now is the time for saints to assemble. First of all, to bring glory to God. Secondly, to be fed of the Word. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partake of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Hey! Not feed that flock that's down there at the flea market and at the Walmart. Amen. Hey! On the race of the ball game. But feed the flock of God that is among you. This is the place where you get fed. Amen. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in chapels of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We're here to be fed of the Word of God. Christ commanded Peter to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep. Oh yes, in Acts 20 and 28, Paul said, feed the flock of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. I tell you, this is a place to feed the sheep of God. This is the feed lot. And there's no sheep food at the worldly venues. It's in the church. Amen. This is where you find food for your soul. This is where the Word of God's expounded. This is where the preaching of the Word goes on. This is where we get fed, friend.
Now's the time for the saints to assemble. Amen. I like the Apostle John. He got in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. When he was exiled to Patmos and didn't even have a church, the Lord's Day meant something to him. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, it don't even matter what day of the week you go to church on, because one day is just good as the other. It mattered to John. He didn't even have a church, but on the Lord's Day, something happened to him. Amen. He said in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I want to tell you something. There's something special about the Lord's Day. Hey, listen, I know every day is the day the Lord's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day ought to be His day. That this is the Lord's day. According to Revelation 1:10, this is the Lord's day. This is the day where Jesus rose from the dead. On Sunday, the first day of the week, we come together today. Listen, hey, somebody said we ought to worship on Saturday. Hey, listen, I'm not under law. I'm a servant of the risen Lord. We come together on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week, to recognize that we're not serving a dead God, but our risen Savior, who's alive today, and alive evermore. And the Lord's Day does mean something. That's right. Our grandpa's called it the Holy Sabbath. Amen. Our parents called it the Lord's Day. We call it Sunday, and our children, it's just any other day. God have mercy on us. Today's the day, now is the time for the saints of God to assemble at the house of God on the Lord's Day in the Spirit of God to be fed of the Word, to bring glory to God, for believers to fellowship. Amen. Acts 2 and 42, and they continue. Now listen, this was all 3,000 of them that got saved on the day of Pentecost. All 3,000, not a one of them. Said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. When these people on Pentecost got saved, they wanted to be where the people of God was. Amen. Listen, Paul understood the importance of fellowship with God's people, and he expressed that in Philippians 1, verse 3 through 5. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, and every prayer of mine, hope for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, every time I pray, I have to thank God because I've had fellowship with the people of God. I tell you, friend, hey, if you work in a regular world and you work on a public job, as soon as what you get in tomorrow morning, chances are somebody is going to slap you in the face with a dead rabbit. And everything's going to go wrong. There'll be heathens on every side. Cussing and dirty jokes. Amen. That's right. Pressure towards social drinking. Hey. But I'm telling you, hey, the haven of rest in the house of God. The people of God, thank God,
and fellowshipping one with another and coming together in worship. Now is the time for the saints to assemble.
Amen. I need this. If you can be just as good a Christian at home and not going to church and frolicking, amen, as what you can to come to church, then you either ain't saved or you're a whole lot better Christian than what I am. Amen. Because I need this. That's right. Now, the psalmist said that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Amen. The trees of the Lord are planted in the house of our God. It's what the psalmist said. Psalm 92 is what he said. The trees of the Lord are planted in the house of our God. Y'all go ahead and set some roots down. Y'all not be a church hopper just jumping here and there and going all over the place. Just running from one place to another here and there, chasing whatever preacher preaches a sermon you want to hear that Sunday morning. Amen. That's right. There's a lot of yahoos in the world. Amen. That's exactly right. A lot of fellows that wouldn't know the Lord if it's in the middle of a 40-acre field with a name tag on trying to preach to you. Amen. Find a place where there's a man of God, where there's people of God, where they got a King James Bible and they preach the devil out of your youngest. Get under it. Stay under it. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Brother Tommy Thompson, Sister James, telling me last, I believe it was the last 2 weeks ago, something like that. They was up in the mountains, something or another, and said the church up there had a sign on it. And they was going to go to church there, so they saw the sign. And the sign on it said that today's sermon from our pastor, the title of today's sermon was, Jesus is a Chicken. Now, I don't know what in the world he's planning on doing with that, but I got a feeling if I was a good Lord, he'd have never made it to the pulpit to try. He'd been struck by lightning before he got there. Amen. I'll tell you, thank God, every place with a steeple in a church, and everybody with a suit coat and a Bible and a preacher, you need to find the house of God and get planted in it. Amen. Planted in the courts of our God. Amen. Said it would grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Now the cedars of Lebanon grow tall and strong, but they grow while leaning on one another. Amen. That's right. And when the snow falls, and my friend, when the storms come, the way they keep standing is because they're so thick in there. They just lean on one another. Amen. I think that's what we do. Friend, when the storms come, and when the snow falls, when the winter times of life comes, if you're in the house of God as a child of God, you lean on one another and draw strength from one another. And the prayers of the saints help you to stand. I'll tell you, get in the house of God. Stay in the house of God. Keep your family in the house of God. And God will bless that. Amen. Now's the time for the saints to assemble. Now's the time for sinners to repent. I'm going to finish with this. Now's the time for servants to be diligent. Now's the time for servants to be diligent. Or maybe you could even say it this way, nearly the same. Now's the time for servants to be vigilant. To be ready, to be thorough, to walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise. Like the servants of the master in Matthew chapter 25, who when he went away on a far country, to a far country on a long journey, he gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, and told them to go and to invest in the work of their master. We too have been given some things. We have been assigned some things. I don't want to tell you what we've been assigned, friend, and we ought to be vigilant in our duties as a servant. First of all, we've been assigned a task. We've been assigned a task, amen. Mark 16 and 15 said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. We've been assigned a task. I'm going to tell you something. If there's places I can't go, Brother Charles, I want to do everything I can to help somebody else get there. That's why I believe in world missions. Somebody said, I believe in home missions. I do too. I believe in home missions, foreign missions, next door missions, your house missions, my house missions, church house, school house missions. I believe in missions at the Dell House. Amen. I believe you ought to take the gospel to the whole world. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem, but tarry till you're endued with power from on high. And so when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, be my witnesses. Be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and Jerusalem, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, it started there locally, and it moved my friend regionally, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We've been assigned a task, and that is the spreading of the gospel to every creature we can find. Amen. time for the servants to be vigilant. It's time for the servants to be vigilant because we've been assigned a task. I want to say we've been assigned a talent. He said he gave unto some five and some two. And to another one, one fellow said, well, that fellow one talent didn't have the one. Yeah, but he had one. And he could have done something with that one. But he chose not to. I can't sing like so-and-so. I can't preach like this. God don't expect you to. All he wants you to do is do your best. Amen, that's right. I can't preach like all these preachers I love to hear. But God didn't call me to be them. He called me to be what he wanted me to be. And all I can do is use my talent, use what God's given me, and carry out my task with it. Amen. That's right. Romans 12:6, having them gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I mean, Ecclesiastes 9:10 said, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. I want to tell you, we ought to do our best. It's time we take our talents and invest them in the things of God. We have been assigned a task. We've been assigned a talent. I want to say, thirdly, we've been assigned a time. And since we've been assigned a time, and that time is limited, now is the time for the servants of God to be vigilant about their task. Now is the time for us to be diligent in applying our talent because we've been assigned a time to do it in. We don't have forever. You mess this thing up, you can't go back and replay it. Amen. The little girls has got that V-Smile games with all the, you know, Scooby-Doo and the ABCs and all that kind of stuff on that V-Smile game. If they mess it up, all they got to do is press reset and it starts all over and they begin over at the beginning just like they never messed it up to start with. But I'm going to tell you, in your life, buddy, there ain't no reset button. You can't go back to the last checkpoint and start over again and try to correct the mistakes you've made. Now's the only time you got. I mean, you've been given a time. You've been assigned a time to carry out your task and to use your talent. And today is all you got. Yesterday's already gone. Tomorrow's always a day away. Today's all you have to do. What God's given you to do. It's time the servants of God become vigilant in their service to the Lord. We've been assigned a time. We've been assigned a time. We don't have forever. Matthew 24:44 said, in such an hour you think not the Son of Man coming. I mean, today could be the day your time's up. Today could be the day that the time ends for us all, friend. Our opportunities may be over with. So we better work while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work, according to John 9:4. I'm going to close with this. You can come on the song. Now is the time for sinners to repent. Now is the time for saints to assemble. Now is the time for servants to be vigilant. I want to say, friend, we're only here for a short while. Today could be the day Jesus comes for the church. He said 2,000 years ago, behold, I come quickly. Waylon Golden used to say, if it is quickly then, it's quicklier now. And that's right, ain't it? I don't know if that's a word or not, but it's still true. It's quicklier now. Jesus is coming soon. We sang right this morning, Jesus is coming soon. I've come too far to go back now, and soon we will see the portals of glory. We sang right, someday I'll get to lay it all down, but before you'll lay everything down, friend, you're going to stand before judgment. Today could be the day Jesus comes to the church, or it could just be the day He comes for you. Today could be the day the death angel visits your home. The gas may be in the hearse that'll carry you to the cemetery. The casket you'll be buried in may be at the funeral home today. You may be wearing the suit of clothes in which you'll die. You may never see the sunlight after this invitation. The breath that's in your lungs now may be your last. You're one heartbeat away from standing before God just like you are. Are you pleased to meet Him like that? Are you satisfied with how you've invested your time? How you've redeemed your time? Are you satisfied with your life just like it is? Will it do to die by?
Now's the time to do something about it. As a tree falleth, so shall it be. It's going to lie right there where it fell. In death, death will not change you. Death will seal what you are. If you're going to change your life, you better do it while you're living. Now's the time to do something about it if you're not satisfied to meet the Lord just exactly like you are. Now's the time. Now's the time. This is the place. Won't you come do business with the Lord? Stand with us if you would. If you need to pray, I wish you'd come. Now's the time. Wouldn't wait till the first verse get started. Wouldn't wait till my brother or sister came. Now's the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Come pray new business with God today. Now is the time. Now's the time that you come.
There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. And it whispers, draw closer to thee. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb and a new day. In me you will find. For whatever to draw closer to you, Lord. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be take my houses and lands, change my dreams and my plans. For I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And should you call me someday to the land far away, Lord, I'll go. That's what